Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah 46. In verse 10, God says that He declares the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel, that is to say, my word, my purpose, my plan, will stand, and I will do all that I've purposed. Now, we don't often understand God's purpose. And because we don't understand God's purpose, it can lead to a lot of confusion. What is God's purpose? Well, in Romans 8, 28 and 29, God tells us very clearly. He says, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. And then it continues in verse 29 that the good that it works together for, and as many as were called were predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son. So, the purpose of God in all things is to conform us to the image of His Son. One of the things that take place, and this gives a lot of people a difficult time, usually it's unbelievers that have a very hard time with this. Sometimes they use this as an argument against God. It's kind of a foolish argument, but nevertheless. And then you also have many believers who have issues with this thing where they don't understand God's purpose, particularly when it comes to something like suffering. A lot of people will say, why does God allow people to suffer? Because it's very hard for them. And they don't see why God, who is love, and indeed He is love, would allow somebody to experience things that are negative, things like suffering. The reason why they say that is because they do not realize that there is a purpose. Young people, I want you to understand something. It's very important. You're going to encounter this at various points in your life. Sometimes God brings suffering in His perfect will. Not all the time. It's not even most of the time for most people unless you have a unique call. But sometimes for everybody, God will allow times of suffering. Don't be thrown for a loop when the times of suffering come. Peter said, don't think it's strange that some fiery trial has come upon you. Fiery trials are not strange. Fiery trials are one of the things that God uses. They're a tool that God uses to build people. So don't think it's strange when it happens. It will happen to you too. When it does, don't let it confuse you. Don't let Satan whisper into your ears something like, well, God doesn't love you, or you're not right with God, or you don't have enough faith, or any of those stupid things that Satan says to people to make things harder for them. Don't do it. Don't let him do it. If you are suffering and you're not in sin knowingly, I emphasize knowingly, then you're suffering out of God's purpose. If you're in sin, then it's chastisement. It's God trying to correct you. But then you know you're in sin. If you're ever asking to yourself, I'm suffering, am I in sin? What's the sin in my life? I don't know. There's got to be sin in my life. You don't get it. You're suffering not because of sin. You're suffering out of the plan of God. Sometimes God's plan does include suffering. Why? Because the purpose that God has, the ultimate purpose, is to conform you, to make you into being just like Jesus. Now in 1 Peter 3:18, Christ suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust. Now there was a purpose in that also. His purpose was that he might bring us to God by means of his suffering because he died for our sins. He was not a sinner. He did nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, he was amazing. He was the guy everybody came to get help when nobody else could help them. He did not turn away people. He did not condemn them. He loved them. He healed them. He helped them. He even raised people from the dead. And yet, he chose to suffer for us. Now, if Christ chose to suffer, and he was God and got to do anything he chose to suffer, he saw value in it. He saw purpose in it. If we suffer, we are the body of Christ, there is value in it. There is purpose in it. I'm not saying it's fun. I'm not saying it's pleasant. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying you like it. None of those things change God's purpose, however. Often people look at suffering and they look at it from an emotional standpoint. It doesn't feel good. It feels terrible. It hurts. It makes me feel bad. It makes me uncertain. All these negative things that come with it. Yes, I understand those things do come with it, but there is still a huge purpose that is far greater than any negative emotion or experience any human being can have. In heaven, no one, not a single person, regrets having suffered on earth. On earth, we hem and haw about it, we cry about it, we're sad about it, and I'm not saying we're not justified. I'm just saying that's what happens. In heaven, we will not regret one moment of it. We will be grateful in heaven for it. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, God makes everything beautiful in its time. Now that may or may not be while you're on earth. For some people it is, for some people it's not. But for every Christian, everyone who is saved, everyone who's going to heaven when they die, God makes everything beautiful in its time. And also, he has set eternity in their heart, in their frame of reference, without which man cannot find out the work that God makes from beginning to end. Now, in order to understand suffering, and this is the only way that suffering can be understood, you have to have divine viewpoint. You have to see things the way God sees them. If you look at things simply from a human viewpoint, the way that people see things, you will never understand suffering, and that's why a lot of people have problems with it. Sometimes people look at things that are of God, that have eternal viewpoint, but they try to look at them with human viewpoint, and all they can see is the negative aspect. If you can look at it from divine viewpoint, then you can start to understand what it is that God is doing. What is the purpose? What is the plan? Is this me and I'm just messing things up, or is this God doing something in my life? Divine viewpoint, in other words, seeing things the way God sees them, will answer those questions for you. If you suffer, you must look at it from divine viewpoint. You cannot comprehend the value of suffering from a human frame of reference. But the value is immense. Suffering has tremendous value. We know that's the case because God as much as says so. Jesus chose suffering for himself. God chooses to promote people in the kingdom of God through means of suffering. I don't know exactly what it is about suffering, but I do know there is something about suffering that is extremely extremely valuable in the kingdom of God. And only the very highest group of believers, the ones that God can absolutely trust under the most difficult of circumstances, will be permitted to suffer within the plan of God. Now, there's other forms of suffering. Like I mentioned, there's suffering for sin, for example. Suffering because you made your own stupid choice, and it was a stupid choice, and now you have to deal with the consequence. That's a type of suffering. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the person who loves God. They're a Christian. They're doing things the best they know how, and they are suffering. Well, in that case, that suffering has amazing value, and if God could not trust them to suffer, they would not suffer. Suffering puts you in the highest order of believers. It's called the Morning Star Order in heaven. In Romans 5:3, Paul said, "We glory in tribulations." You glory in tribulations, you like to suffer. And to the natural man, to the natural way of looking things, that seems like a really weird statement. Maybe they think he's being religious, I don't know. But it's a really weird statement if you look at it from natural viewpoint. But if you look at it like Paul did, from God's viewpoint, then you start to see real purpose. He says that we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces patience. Now, that's patient endurance. Patient endurance is the first expression, the first characteristic of the love of God, of the nature of God. Now, remember, we are predestined, predetermined. God called every single one of us to be made into the image of Christ, to have the same character, the same nature that Christ has. So if I'm going to have the character that Christ has, well, He is love. So tribulation, suffering, will bring me first to the first characteristic of love. Now, somebody out there is thinking, well, that's hypomone versus macrothumia. Yes, that's true. But the difference is not in the character. The difference is in the target. In other words, hypomone, which this word is, it means patient endurance regarding circumstances. Macrothumia, which is what 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, is patience. In other words, patient endurance toward people. Either way, it's patient endurance. The target is not the real deciding factor. The patient endurance is. That's the character part. So he says that tribulation produces patient endurance, and patient endurance produces character. Exactly what God is after. Character produces confident expectation. So now we have this ability in our relationship to Him that we're confident in that, and that it can become living and vibrant and active and very effective. And that hope does not disappoint us, because that confident expectation results in the love of God being poured into our frame of reference. There is the character of His Son. There is exactly what God is after when we endure suffering. God didn't say you're going to like it. Paul didn't say I glory in tribulations because they're fun. He didn't say I glory in tribulations because they feel good. He didn't say I glory in tribulations because I enjoy them. He said, no, I glory in tribulations because of what tribulations produce in my own heart, in my own character, in my own thinking. That's what's special about tribulations. That's what makes suffering valuable. Suffering is what God shows for itself because it is a purely human experience, but with a purely divine purpose. So suffering is the point where humanity and eternity, or humanity and God, meet, where they merge into one. In Ephesians 2:15 and 16, we become one person with Christ at the cross, in the point of suffering. That's where it all took place. So suffering is this really unique thing that God allows to happen. People don't enjoy it, and nobody blames them for not enjoying it, but the fact that they don't enjoy it does not mean that it does not have profound purpose. It absolutely does. And ultimately that purpose is that we become like Christ because of it. In a way, and I don't expect young people to really understand this word, but the older ones might, in a way, you can call it the hypostatic experience. Hypostatic means both God and man. And so when Jesus came to earth, he came as a man, but he was fully God, and that is called the hypostatic union. Fully God, fully man. You could call this the hypostatic experience. Purely a human experience, but the purpose of it is purely from God, purely divine. The just died for the unjust. Purely human, purely divine. If you suffer, young people, and sometimes it'll happen in your life that you will, and hopefully it won't be anything that you cannot handle. God will not give you something you can't handle, but sometimes people have a harder time than others because of the way they look at it, the way they think. If you suffer, remember, there's huge purpose. And ultimately, the point of that is, it is one of God's tools to cause you to be like Christ, to give you God's character. Nobody chooses suffering for themselves. The Word of God tells us that He is the potter, we're the clay. And the clay does not tell the potter, why are you doing this with me? He owns us, He bought us, and He's making us into something very unique, very special, very wonderful. He's making us into the character of God. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, our light affliction, and that's really what it is, it's a light affliction because we are simply humans. Our affliction is light because it cannot go beyond what a human can bear. Also, our affliction is light because it will not endure forever. There will be a time, there is a point in time when that affliction is over. You no longer are suffering. It may come sooner, it might come later, but there is a point of time when it will come. The suffering will stop. Now, our light affliction, which is only for a moment, is working in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Suffering has eternal purpose. And this purpose is something that you want. In 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer, we will also reign with Christ. This is that morning star order crowd that I told you about. Talks about it in Revelation chapter 3. This morning star order is the highest order of believers. These are the people who reign. They have special, unique insight. They are God's inner circle, and they reign with Christ forever. Not just for the 1,000-year reign, but actually forever. They're a very unique and select group of believers, and the thing that allows them to be part of that special group is because they've had the character of God worked into them through suffering such that their presence will be the same as God's presence. Their thinking is the same as God's thinking. Their attitude is the same as God's attitude. The way they approach things is the same as the way God approaches things. That has to be worked into us. And that's what suffering is for. He makes everything beautiful in its time, but you will not be able to see this without that divine frame of reference. Now, suffering, when responded to with kindness, has eternal rewards. What do I mean with kindness? We don't accuse God. We don't say God doesn't love me. We don't say God doesn't hear me. We don't say, oh, woe is me. Why would God allow this to happen to me? God allowed that to happen to you because He's trying to promote you. He's trying to develop your character. He wants you to be just like Christ for eternity so that you can be the highest order of believer for eternity. That's why. But without a divine frame of reference, without eternity as your viewpoint, you're not going to be able to figure that out. You're not going to see that there's a greater purpose that God has that is greater than your own comfort. But for some people, their comfort is everything. And God says, if you're worried about comfort, I give you the Comforter. I give you the Holy Spirit to comfort you, to encourage you, to guide you, to help you. But if all you're worried about is your physical comfort, you're worried about a very small thing that has very little value in itself. God says, I'm trying to give you a kingdom. Don't settle for a peanut. In Romans 5:8, God commends His love to us in this. The word commends is synesthesia, and that means to make two things into one thing. You could say God unites you to His love in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were not right with God when He died for us. We were not friends of God. We were not in any way wanting God. We were not right with Him at all. We were in all kinds of mess. If you got saved when you're young, you have no idea what good fortune you have. Because there's a lot of people who get saved when they're older, and man, they go through the ringer. But young people, even if you are not an outward sinner, and I trust that you're not, you still have an old sin nature. And even though you have an old sin nature, even though sometimes if you're young, you don't listen to mom and dad, and you would, and they're completely justified if they have to discipline you. But even in that situation, God loves you still. Jesus died for you still. He makes you one with Him still. The one who was loved suffered for us and chose it. Why? Because in suffering, and this is the last reason that I'm going to talk about, in suffering, love is expressed purely. There's no pretending when you're suffering. Years ago, when my friend Tony was dying of cancer, a young Bible college student wanted to meet him. He had bone cancer and he was now in a hospice, which is like a hospital for people who are going to die. Keeps them comfortable as much as possible. Tony would get the strongest painkillers available. They would work for about 2 hours. And then he would be back in pain. And I asked him one time, Tony, What does this feel like? And he said, if you slam your car door on your fingers, multiply it by 10, and then you have what this feels like. His bones were breaking from the inside. And Tony, one time, this was close to before he passed, I came to see him and he said to me, Mike, I cannot get up to say hi. I can't shake your hand. It just hurts too much. And of course, I told him, don't worry about it. I get it. But a few days later, there was a young Bible college student who wanted to meet Tony. Tony became something of a celebrity in our group because of the way that he handled suffering. And this young student wanted to meet him, so I took that student over there because we knew that Tony was a friend of mine. And I've seen something that I've never seen in my life before or since. This guy who had such intense, painful suffering, when that young kid came into his room, they were about 20 years old, Tony actually sat up in his bed and he extended his hand. Now, that young person, God bless them, they had no idea. But that taking of his hand was like shattering your hand to Tony. And he didn't flinch. Why? Because suffering brings you to the place where love is expressed purely. There was no selfishness in Tony's action at all. It was all about being loving, showing the character and the love of God to this young Bible college student, to love and to encourage and to honor them. But I knew how painful that was for him. I've never seen anything like it. Now, that young person had no idea. Tony didn't tell him. I didn't tell him. But man, that was a very courageous thing to do. Why did he do it? Because he suffered to the point where the character of God was present. Nobody knew it but me. And that's only because I knew him. But boy, did he ever show God's love to that person in a simple handshake. That's character. That's what suffering does. Young people, why does God allow people to suffer? So they can become like Christ, so they can become like Tony was. So that when you see that person, you're no longer looking at just a person. You're looking at Christ inside of them. Because they are reflecting his character and his nature. That's why. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.